the scripture passages, my sermon title, and the basic idea and outline for my sermon were all set in place fairly early on in the week. And then, as I am sure most of you know, one of the United States of America's closest allies was attacked on Friday evening. And it seemed that our scripture readings were all the more appropriate, God's providence at work. In case you do not know, on Friday, the people of Paris believed that it was going to be a normal night out on the town. But soon those plans were destroyed when several gunmen and suicide bombers targeting primarily concert venues and cafes murdered around 130 people and injured somewhere in the order of 300. By yesterday morning, ISIS had taken responsibility, and French President François Hollande has confirmed that that seems to be accurate. This is, of course, a despicable act perpetrated by despicable people, specifically done in order to cause as much harm and fear to the general population of France as possible. And it must be condemned in the strongest possible terms. It also reminds us of the turbulent times in which we live. Indeed, while the death toll was not as high on Friday night, it has already been described as being a 9/11 style attack. And that makes me look back on when our nation was attacked by a terrorist organization very similar to ISIS a decade and a half ago. In 2000, after 9/11, then French President Jacques Chirac was the first foreign head of state to meet with President Bush in person and was quoted as saying, "Today it is New York that was tragically struck, but tomorrow it may be Paris, Berlin, London." Words that seem almost prophetic when read now. In a similar move following the attack on America, a major French newspaper ran a front page headline saying, "We are all Americans." It's a French newspaper. And indeed, ever since Marquis de Lafayette helped the American colonists in the Revolutionary War, France has been a close ally to the United States. But it is not just France that has suffered here recently. Beirut, Baghdad, Kenya, Israel, and I am sure many, many other parts of our world have also been plagued by terrorist attacks. And that is just in the last few weeks. Unfortunately, this violence is not new. It has been around since Cain killed Abel, and it will continue to the end of time. And that is why President Chirac's words that today it is New York that was tragically struck, but tomorrow it may be Paris, Berlin, London, ring so true. Indeed, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus speaks about wars and rumors of wars and warns us not to be alarmed by them. Now he does not mean that we should not be concerned about them. Instead, he is emphasizing that these things are a part of the evilness of human nature, and they will always be with us. And in fact, this was true for Jesus' time as well. Our gospel lesson consists of two parts. In the first, Jesus and his disciples are walking about the temple complex, and the disciples point to the architecture of the building, noting that the stones that are there are of enormous size, some of them being several tons. And Jesus makes the prediction that despite the incredible size of the building and the grandioseness of it, it would not be long before violence erupted on the Temple Mount, causing the destruction of the magnificent building. And in fact, that very thing happens while most of Jesus' disciples were still living. The Romans destroy the temple and to this day it has not been rebuilt. Violence at its worst. And then Jesus goes on in the second part, he goes on to say that extreme violence, wars, rumors of wars, famines, and natural disasters will be the signs of the end times. That when these things become extreme enough, they will usher in the day of judgment, like birth pangs usher in the delivery of a baby. And this echoes what the prophet Daniel says in his apocalyptic writing, that when the dead awake to be judged and the faithful will be delivered, it will be a time of pain and anguish, unlike anything that has been known in any nation before. Violence, Daniel and Jesus declare, will be the sign that the end is near, that the day of judgment is at hand. And so I have heard many Christians ask two very logical sets of questions. First, with the rise of terrorism and non-conventional war and extreme violence and the ever-present threat of more war and famine and pestilence, are these the signs that Jesus and Daniel foretold? Are we living in the end times? Are events like those that occurred in Paris on Friday or on September 11th in our own nation a decade and a half ago, are they the birth pangs that will bring about the day of judgment? And the answer to those questions will help us answer the second set, which is this. If extreme violence and war and famine are prerequisites, if they are required for the signs of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, then isn't that, well, kind of a good thing? I mean, if this will bring about the second coming, then ultimately why isn't this actually good? But for that, we need to answer the first set of questions. Are these signs of the end? Well, Christians tend to fall into one of two camps. The first, where they always seem to think that they are living in the end times. This is the end is near camp. And the second, that seems to think that the world will always exist, that these signs don't mean anything and never will. They don't seem to think that the end will ever happen. Here is the truth, though. We simply don't know. Perhaps these horrible things are the signs that Jesus was talking about. But on the other hand, as I said before, violence has been a constant in humanity since Cain killed Abel. Maybe this is simply the normal, for lack of better term, violence that humanity in its brokenness does to each other. And that gives us a partial answer to the second question. If ultimately the second coming is to be accompanied by this type of thing, should we simply sit by and let it happen? And the answer to that is a resounding no. Especially without knowing whether these things are in fact the signs of the end times, we are always called to follow Jesus' command to love all of humanity. And part of that means standing up for those that cannot stand for themselves. That means supporting the victims in Paris and Israel and Beirut and Kenya and Baghdad and wherever innocents are made to suffer. But even more than that, even if this increase in violence does signal the next stage of salvation history, when Jesus will return in glory, our passage from the Epistle to the Hebrews says something really, really interesting. Despite the fact that Daniel and Jesus and many, many other passages of the Bible proclaim that the day of judgment will be surrounded by violence on this earth, Hebrews says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day being spoken of is the day of judgment when our Lord will return. And what Hebrews says is that at that at all times, but especially that when that day is approaching, we should do more than encourage. It says we should provoke each other to love, and we should gather together. We should cling to one another when things are difficult. Indeed, Jesus says that these things will be the signs of the coming day of judgment. But I think that what he is saying is less that when we see these evils in the world, we will know that he is about to return, and more that these evils are the reason that we all need the gospel message. This violence that we see today, this violence that has been a part of humanity since the very beginning, is a sign of the utter brokenness of humanity. It is a sign of our sinful nature and separation from God. It is a sign that the world needs the good news of Jesus Christ. This brokenness is what Jesus saves us from, and he offers that salvation to all. I am heartbroken at the state of this world. It pains me to think that this sort of thing is happening. We must unite to proclaim the gospel of freedom, to condemn in the strongest terms possible any ideology that encourages this hatred and violence. And a part of me wants to echo the sentiments of the French newspaper that declared in bold terms shortly after 9/11 that we are all Americans. Part of me wants to declare that today we are all French. But it is bigger than that. As Christians, as the children of God, our solidarity goes beyond just the French people, and it goes beyond that list of Beirut, Baghdad, Kenya, and Israel, etc., etc. We are not just French today. We are the people of God. And that means that we stand for something. We represent God in this world. And that means that we have a message to this world. Enough is enough. Life is valuable, whether that life is in Paris or Baghdad, and things that threaten that life like terrorism and hatred are evil. Of course, declaring that to the world is a big task, a task that all Christians have, so we cannot hope to save the world on our own. But what was it that Hebrews said that we should meet together and encourage one another? That is something we can do. And it is a start. We can and should encourage one another and show each other that they are valuable. God loves you, each and every one of you, and he cherishes you. And I hope you know that. I hope you believe that, and I hope you have been told that. And believing that, I ask you to go out into the world and bring that message to those around you. Tell people with your words and show them with your deeds that they are loved by God, that the violence of this world is nothing compared to the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Last week I talked about how small actions can have an enormous impact. And this is a perfect example. Who knows what bringing this good news that God cares to even one person will do. But what I do know is that through God, even small actions can change the world. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.